The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a whoop whoop Wednesday? Because God is in charge of the crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First up, we hear about people being hypocrites, but what is the reason for faking a face? We examine how much God hates that approach because it's sin. Next, it's hard to be authentic all the time. That's not the problem. The trouble comes into play when we are never authentic. And finally, if God is the creator and we are the creation, why are we so displeased with how God made us? Could it be that we are as daft as lumps of clay?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? All right, now here's the deal. You can call us. Now watch what I'm going to tell you. If you call us, if you want to talk on a phone with us, then that number is 972-445-0770. If you want to reach us, but you don't want to be on the phone, but you still want to reach us, you can always email us, of course, but you can text us. The text, so you put the numbers in and you put some information, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. We open that up for people that want to make comments. They may have a praise report. They may have a question. They may have a prayer request. They may want to answer trivia. That's the thing that a lot of people enjoy, is trying to get in on the trivia. We do keep it a little easy from time to time. You'll see me bring in some real zingers. You'll be like going, huh? Okay, but that's part of the fun. That's what we're doing. And so let's start off with a very simple, straightforward trivia question. The Spirit of God descended on Jesus in the form of... I'm stopping right there. Here's the bottom line. Any topic, of course, is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I proved that yesterday by blowing it. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I do want to say right off the bat that we got a question at the very end. Stephen called in and asked for a question, and I gave a kind of a quick answer, and I'm going to give him an official answer on Friday to his question. I gave him a real quick answer. He asked about binding and loosing and the different translations. I will let Stephen know. He sent me a very nice email today saying, hey, I wasn't trying to cut in on the time. He's very, very, very aware of his circumstance there, and I appreciate that, but I don't ever mind people asking questions. I just need to make sure everybody's copacetic. If I need to push it back or move it at a different time, there should be no problem with that. But I will give a shout out to Stephen because I came up with something new I didn't know. And so in pursuing that question, it gave me an opportunity to do some additional pursuits. He asked about binding and loosing. That has to do with Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I'm going to get into that on Friday on one of our segments. Very cool stuff. I like stuff like that. So wait, let me hit my head into the microphone again. I I'm really good at that. Okay, here is the trivia question for those that do not know. The Spirit of God descended on Jesus in the form of a... Okay, I'll leave it right there. And then I'll start off the whole show by telling you something rather funny, and then we'll get into the more serious stuff later on. First and foremost, I'm about to get a B on a paper I haven't written yet. Now, you guys know I've talked to you about my papers all the time and all my schooling, and I'm a 4.0-y kind of guy. Okay, I got one A minus in the last 7 years. Okay, so it's all the rest of it's 4.0. I'm gonna get a B on a paper, on purpose. Okay, you want to know why? This is kind of a mystery. Because they have asked us to write this particular paper as though we are giving it as a press secretary for discovering a Greek text, and how would you tell the dean to share that with the press? The problem was that they put that line in there. How would you tell them to share that with the press? And so I have a whole portion on media stands for making everyone dumber in America. I'm just going to let it fly. And the professor's going to come back and go, what did that have to do with the assignment? And I'm going to say, nothing, but you opened that door. And so I'm telling you right now, I'm punishing myself ahead of time. But it was just too funny when I wrote it and I started laughing and... That's your fault. You listen to the show. Okay?
No, that's not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, last thing I do want to tell you, and then we'll get into the teaching. Noel told me yesterday we're not going to do the read and rant, but instead we're going to do read and ramble. Do you want to try and do that noise? Let's do the ramble noise that's coming. Ready, set, and go.
Well, I'm ramblin'.
See, that's what we're going to be doing, read and ramblin'. Okay? Guess where that clip's from. That's Steve Martin clip. That's what he does, ramblin' guy. I'm a ramblin' guy. Then he goes, in Chinese, it's really funny. Anyhow, the bottom line is what I'm going to do is I'm going to read portion of a text, and then I'm going to ramble. And that's coming either next week or the week after. We'll be starting off in the book of Galatians. It's not actually expository, although it is kind of expository commentary. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and we've changed it to, instead of read and rant, it's read and ramble. All right, let's get into our text. We'll do DNA later. Here we go. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 and 28. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but are on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Ouch! This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the teachers of the law. And for everybody that doesn't think that Jesus ever calls anybody a name, you ought to read Matthew chapter 23 where there are no less than 10 and potentially 15 names of which Jesus calls the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, not the least of which, besides hypocrites, is snakes and serpents and vipers and... It's like, I don't know what people are thinking, but Jesus is going, snake, snake, snake. I mean, that's what's going on. Well, you can't change the text. Here's the bottom line. There's religiously fake, and then there's just being real. And the reality check is that God is not a huge fan of the religiously fake. I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. Went into a church service, had a situation going on. Things were not going all that great. This is in Arizona. Walked in, you know, kind of like needing to spend time with the Lord in worship, needing to spend time hearing a good word, so on and so forth. And I'm not going to say what church, but the pastor's wife came up and said, "Oh, my, you have to put on your Jesus face. Because you're in church." And I was like, which one? The one that he used while he was being crucified? Should I put on that face? In other words, there's a fakeness that happens, and God is not impressed with that. What do we know for sure? That God sees things differently. He doesn't look at the outside. He looks on the inside. What do we know for sure? That in Matthew chapter 6, there was a lot of statements about the hypocrites. Jesus not impressed with people that gave in a hypocritical sense, not impressed with people that prayed in a hypocritical sense, not impressed with people that fasted in a hypocritical sense. And why is that? Because the word hypokrites, which is the word, the Greek word, means wearing a mask. And how they used to do it in the plays is they would have different masks, basically on sticks. They would have a mask, and they would put the mask over their face, and they would talk in character, and then they would switch the mask, and they would then be another character. And that's what Jesus didn't like for people who were being connective to God amongst other believers. It's like, wait, no, okay? It's fine to have acting. It's fine to have the arts. It's not fine to practice that in church and with other believers. It's what we would call false imaging. It's trying to project an image that's not real. Look, everything in all of the universe is up, down, sometimes good, sometimes bad. You get to smile. I know there's people out there saying, no matter what happens, smile. It's like, no matter what happens, depend on God. But you can cry, and you can laugh, and you can weep, and you can dance. You do it all. Not some of it, all of it. And when we take on this position of trying to project something greater than we are, that falsification is a bad testimony. Better you should be honest, I'm trying to figure this out in the Lord, than I've got all the answers I've ever needed. Look, all the answers are in Jesus, but I have never met anybody so close to Jesus I couldn't tell the difference. Get it? In other words, it doesn't matter how much you want to present yourself to people. Yeah, there should be, you know, it's very attractive to always have an air of confidence. It's very fake. Stop doing that. God is not impressed. And if you're trying to impress the creatures more than the Creator, you've already lost your mind. Stop doing that. It's okay to have a crummy day. It's okay. You know, Jesus had a couple of moments where he goes, I just, you people. Jesus, remember when he said that? How long am I going to be with you? I don't think Jesus was real happy at that moment. Why? They were driving him nuts. Hey, that happens. That's life. We're going to deal with that in a little more depth in just a second. Let us make sure we answer our trivia question. And the trivia question was, the Spirit of God descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. In the form of a dove. There you go. Matthew chapter 3, I think it's verse 16. Okay, folks, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio. Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
With his special guest today, Focus on the Family trauma specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this, they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this? And what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. Until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly, and that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finished my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about livinginhisgrip.com. Before we get to the trivia and our sponsor, I just want to read you a little email that my professor sent out to the class today, so I want to read it, and I'm just reading it from him, and I'm giving him the acknowledgement. This is sometimes why I like the school stuff that we do. On this day in 1918, World War I came to an end. That'd be November 11th. That's why we acknowledge it as Veterans Day. Germany signed the Armistice Agreement with the Allies in the railroad car outside of France. It was called the War to End All Wars because of the great carnage and the degree of devastation it caused. The First World War left 9 million soldiers dead and 21 million wounded. 30 million people. Thus, Armistice Day began and was so observed on November 11th. It became a U.S. federal holiday in 1938. After World War II and the Korean War, it became known as Veterans Day. For those of you who have served sacrificially in our military, let me offer my depth of gratitude for your service and for your faithfulness. For those who continue to serve, thank you for your commitment to our country. We are home of the free because of the brave men and women like you. Happy Veterans Day. Very nice email, I think, that went out from the professor at school. I just want to acknowledge that. I think that's really great. I like when people do stuff like that. It's just like, that's cool. And so those get a little confused. Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Memorial Day is talking about those that have perished in their military service, and Veterans Day has to do with all those that have served or are serving. Okay, just making sure you know that differential. Okay, let us give acknowledgement to our trivia sponsor, which is Coach and Texas Air King.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC Coach today. Call or visit him online at TexasAirKing.com.
Okay, here we go. This is even Coach can answer this, but this is a tough one, though. So I'm telling you. Here's what is said in the gospel. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and blank came by Jesus Christ. Ooh, Dave, pulling it out there, okay? For the law was given by Moses, but grace and blank came by Jesus Christ. Got to fill in the blank. If you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770 or you can, like Joy and Cordy, text 214-210-8483. Please, by the way, do not forget our website, HeMustIncrease.org. website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay. And now one thing I am going to tell you, because we do have somebody calling in on the trivia question, and part of our discussion today, part of our sermon has to do with being truthful, aletheia, so on and so forth. I'm just telling you right now, if you can visit hemustincrease.org, we are real low on the dough. That's me just being real about it. We're real low on the dough. This month, I don't know. I think Thanksgiving and Christmas, I kind of anticipate that. Just do the best you can. If you can help, great. If you can't, pray for us that the Lord will send us people that can help us. There you go. Yes, ma'am. Okay, ready to rock and roll. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon, David. This is Al.
Hi, Al. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
That's great. I'm glad.
Can I give a shout out to our veterans and just
yes,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Please do so.
Appreciate their faithfulness to our country and fighting for us when we couldn't. For us, they couldn't.
Amen.
So.
Amen. All right, my friend. So that's good. And I want people to do that. I want people to recognize that. That's a you know, when you talk, we were talking the other day about a trivia question saying, you know, greater love hath no man this than a man lay down his life for his friend. That's part of that process. And I think that's really important to recognize.
Exactly.
That's what, okay. All right, my friend, here we go. Now, this is, I think, going to be somebody testing a little off, and I want to make sure people get it as good as we can. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and what came by Jesus Christ?
Truth.
That is correct, sir! Touchdown! Goal! He hit a home run! Swish! It's a basket. That's the first time I've ever done any of that. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. A very key answer. Also, it's worth noting that life comes by Jesus Christ, but in this particular text in John chapter 1 verse 17, we were looking for truth. So that was an excellent job. Thank you, my friend. You did an excellent job.
Very good.
All right,
brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. God
Have
bless.
A good day.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. We're rolling. Today's show's rolling. This is a good show. It was a really good show and better than Friday's replay this one. Okay. All right. We discuss business live on the show. Well, are you supposed to do that?
We do.
We're not supposed to. We just do it. I don't think we really do anything we're supposed to. All right. Did we cover everything? I think we've covered almost. We did the website. We did the trivia. We did this. I did this. Huh? No, not yet. All right. We might do that on the 4th. Okay. We have 4 segments for those that haven't figured it out. That's how my mind works. Okay. It's first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth. That's just how it works. Okay. This is... my attention span. That's all it lasts. All right, let's go back to this. The word aletheia, by the way, in the Greek, for those that don't know, means real, okay, or truth, which is ironic that we just had that question. Here's the big church no-no that gets talked about in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit, and you've kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Now, before you guys get the wrong impression that if somebody sold something, they had to give all of it away, that is not the case. All giving in these capacities, all of it is voluntary, which is why socialism and capitalism have these big mixes, and communism have these big mixes. Everything of giving in the kingdom of God is voluntary. Nobody is compelled or required in that sense unless they feel that requirement from the Lord. So look what Peter says in verse 4. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? Okay, so he had the right to do with it whatever he wanted. And then Peter said, what made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied to human beings, but to God. Remember, you just said you lied to the Holy Spirit. People don't understand the Holy Spirit's a person. You can't lie to an electrical force. You can't look at your lamp and go, I am a frog. Okay, that doesn't have any bearing. You can only lie to a person. That's my whole point. And the point of this is very simple. Peter is like going, dude, what? Why would you sell the land? Tell us you sold it for $100,000, but you really sold it for $200,000. You kept $100,000 back, which would have been fine. You gave us $100,000, then you said, it's all there. All the land money's there. There you go. Only people who want to look good do stuff like that. Here was God's response. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. For those that are not familiar with the story, you should read the book of Acts chapter 5. And for those that are thinking, well, that's the Old Testament. This is the New Testament after the resurrection, after the Holy Spirit has fallen upon people. This is the New Testament where God says, in the first God judgment death, getting outside of Judas, getting back into the resurrection of Christ, going to Acts 1, 2, going into 3, 4, and 5. Here's God's hand of judgment. First thing he gets really irritated about is faking it. Like, hey, just be real about it. Okay? You want to give half your money? Give half your money. You want to give none of your money? Give none of your money. You want to give it? Make sure you smile. But it's your money. You're going to have to make a decision. But don't lie about it. That's why two times in Revelation, God talks about people who are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Twice, liars are mentioned. It's like in the same text. It's like, that's twice. That's right. God really doesn't like that. It's not that you never do it. Okay, and I would like there to be some honesty. Sometimes you project a little to try and, you know, come off a little better, especially if you're dating or something like that. I mean, come on, that's it's a lifestyle that says everything I do because I'm holy and righteous. It's like God's like going, bleh. It's like, don't do that. Because that's ridiculous. Just be who you are. You don't have to be something better. That's why there is this thing called grace and this other thing called mercy. Because if you were good enough and you could always do it perfect, you wouldn't need grace or mercy, would you? But that's not the reality check. In fact, we're supposed to be strong in grace, which means we're really dependent on the unmerited favor of God. Right. And I know that I'm coming up, and I'm not trying to come off just as harsh as it probably is coming off, but there's a reality check to a fakeness, and I think it's dangerous for us to do that. There's a fake righteousness, and it's like, dude, remember the bumper sticker? Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven, okay? That needs to be a part of our thinking. That needs to be a part of our processing, okay? All right. By the way, if you ever answer a trivia question and you get it wrong, don't ever get upset or don't get – just go again and go again. Keep trying. Keep. It's the whole thing of our Christian walk. Just keep going one step in front of the next. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible. And it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. One thing I do have to tell you is that I am on a Facebook 30-day snooze, so if you're going to go to Facebook and try and say anything, that ain't going to work. Don't do that. I'm on a 30-day, not missing it very much. I'm just being honest, because everybody's all like uptight and so on and so forth. Trivia. Let me do a shout out before we do the trivia. Eric, our good friend Eric, he's in San Clemente right now. Eric, you don't know this, but I lived in San Clemente. And if it is connected to your son and he's the military guy that I think he is, he might have been in the same apartment complex I was in San Clemente. Ha ha! Text me the name of it. I'll tell you if it's the right one. Trivia question. Here we go for trivia. This is pretty interesting because I just did a teaching on this. So if you don't get this, I'm going to have to blame you. Seriously. What did Ananias sell? This is actually my trivia question. We were just talking about Ananias and Sapphira. What did Ananias sell in order to get money to give to the apostles? What did he sell? What did he sell? Even though Ananias didn't give all the money, what was it? Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Now, I just talked about this, so if you're not listening, you're going to go, huh? But if you were listening, you'll remember the story I just told. All right, don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, don't forget our website. Eric just texted me. He's on post, so I'm not. Anyway, I live there in San Clemente. You know, there's a great, great restaurant on the pier. Oh, so good. So good. Best bread. Then the birds come up, and they try and eat it while you're – that's so funny. We got somebody calling in on the question. Awesome. Hang on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Even though I'm going to the doctor tomorrow, I'm feeling pretty good about it. So I have my attitude. My attitude is up. All right, here we go. So we were just talking about Ananias and Sapphira and just talking about how they kept back some of the money. What is it that he was selling in the first place?
Was it land?
That is correct. That is 100% right. It is land. He had land. He wasn't even house, per se. It was property, but it was land, actually, in its utmost root. And so he was selling land, although it's property, too, so I should say that that's both of those are accurate. But he was selling land, and he was like, yeah, I got $100,000. Here's the whole thing. When he really got $200,000 and put the other $100,000 in the way, away in the bank. Some commentators think he did that because he only partly trusted the Lord and wanted to also lean on his own wisdom. That's an interesting premise, huh?
Yes, very.
Excellent. Excellent job. Thank you, ma'am. You've done a fabulous job.
All right, have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We're just rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep them doggies rolling. Okay, I shouldn't probably do that. History. I got something funny here. Go ahead. History. See, now she got 100.
Let's go,
just in case you're wondering, I gave Tierra more sounds, and then if she had another 50 or 100 sounds, she'd be like, ah, bah, 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 but that's what happens. That's what's going to happen on the show, just in case you don't know that.
I'm struggling.
It makes it different. Veterans Day, like we already acknowledged, Veterans Day, federal holiday honoring the veterans, persons that have served or are serving in the U.S. military. Very, very important. It is also, this makes no sense to me, so I'm going to skip it real fast, Red Lipstick Day. I don't know. Is there, now you would have to tell, is there something special about a color of lipstick?
It's not really special. It's just like, I think red lipstick looks good on everybody.
Okay. So it's kind of like a more of a universal complimentary lipstick. Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay. I can go with that. National Sunday Day, like a National Sunday as in a Sunday, like yes. And now here you're going to hear a clip because I'm going to say this real quickly. And then I'm going to play the clip as soon as I look at you. It's Origami Day.
Do you know what the word nada means? In all those Mexican movies you made, did you ever hear that word?
Isn't that a light chicken gravy that you just...
It means nothing. Zero. Zip. It's what you're going to have when I'm through with you.
Isn't it a light chicken gravy? So when I was looking at Origami Day, I was like, isn't that a light chicken gravy? So I thought, yep, let's play that. Okay. Here is something that nobody has heard of before. You have never heard this trivia. Not likely, anyway. On this day in 1988, the world's loudest scream was recorded. The world's loudest scream, Simon Robinson of South Australia, hit 128 decibels. This is almost as loud as a jet aircraft 50 feet away. And that source, by the way, is Guinness Book of World Records. Isn't that weird? I mean, I'm loud, but come on.
I bet his kids can't stand him.
Well, that explains why all my kids walk around with those head things on, doesn't it, then?
It's pure silence.
Okay, I'm not talking to you anymore. All right, let me get back to the text. Here we go. We've been talking about being real, being aletheia. Here's where this aletheia really comes into play. John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets had wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Then Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What people don't catch on this text, on this portion, is what Nathanael said, and that should tell you everything about what he said about Nazareth. Okay? Contrary to those that think, Nazareth was not Rockwall, Texas, okay? Nazareth was not upstate New York. Nazareth was a suburb similar off of L.A., right about border town. It's like, it was like terrible. It was not a great place. It was not the place you think it was. It was not everything was flowing with biscuits and gravy kind of mentality. It didn't have waving palms. It wasn't like that at all. It was much more of a lower income place than you would anticipate. And it is Nathaniel who specifically says when he's told by Philip, hey, we found this guy. He's the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of everything Moses wrote about and all the prophets. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. Then Nathanael goes, Nazareth? And he goes, can anything good come from there? That is the nicest way that can be said with, what, from that dump? The Messiah's coming from that place? Look at what Jesus says about his character. He's like, here's a guy in whom there's no deceit. Like, this is a guy that tells it the way it is. He speaks his mind, probably had some more restraint than we typically see in some of those people, but he speaks what's in his mind. He doesn't hold it back. He's not fake about it. It's like, look, you ever heard that expression? Well, with this guy, you get what you get. That's a good expression. I know it sounds terrible, but it's not terrible. It's a good thing to get what you get in the context that, there's not a pretending going on. It's just real. And the word deceit is also the word for truth, or no deceit together, is combined the same as truth, and it's aletheia, and it means just to be real. And one of the big things about it is if we are just real and dependent on the grace and the mercy of God, it's not as hard to do the walk. It's not as difficult. We can just trust in the Lord and depend on him. Here's the key. I'm going to say this in the nicest way. Now, that doesn't give you permission to be a jerk when you're supposed to speak your mind kind of thing. You have to use wisdom and tact and everything else, but he didn't hold anything back. He really told how he felt. But listen to this. This is the key. This is the key from this teaching and from the previous two segments and the following segment after this. Pretending to be something that we are not is an insult to God. Now, that's what I want you to catch. Pretending to be something that you're not is insulting the Creator who created you. There's no wrong in trying to exercise. There's no wrong in trying to do things that are healthy and good for you. There's no wrong in having your clothes clean. We're not talking about that. But people that try to project something that they're not are directly, not indirectly, directly insulting the Creator who made them. Maybe you're a person that likes this, doesn't like this, feels good about this, doesn't feel good. You're not supposed to change who you are that way. You're supposed to depend on the Lord, but guess what? He made you with your fingerprints, with your eye scan, with your with your uniqueness, and he didn't make a mistake when he made you. So you don't have to be fake because God didn't make a mistake. Get that? You be you. That's who God made you. That's who he created you. Don't try and be something you're not to impress others. Be who you are before the Lord. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at texasairking.com.
You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know,
Tell me the show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
I'm not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's a, kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Before we get into our next trivia question, I should have you guys be praying for this. So I have got to talk to Donyet, who owns the station. I don't know what the next year contract is. So be in prayer that him and I just have one mind, one accord, and just make it simple. And I have the exact same thing going on with the house we live in. So it's not like things are up in the air, because I feel like the Lord's going to just like keep going for the next year. But, you know, in the back of your mind, you go, the Lord ever tells me go do, I got to go do the best I can, right? Everybody's got to do that. We all have to do that. All right. I just told him if he wants me to go somewhere that I really don't want to go, I just want ID. That's all. Anyhow, here's the next trivia question. Who was Jesus talking about when he said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel? Who was he talking about? Think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or, now that's the call-in number. Or you can text 214-210-8483. Please don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget about the words. By the way, there is new stuff up there. So, I mean, if you're like, Dave, there's not new stuff. There's like 3, 4, 5 new things up there. One is kind of old new, but there's other old new stuff up there too. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Am I covered everything? You want to do DNA? We got to do our DNA. Oh, don't want to forget DNA. Okay, we're gonna do this together. So T and I can do this together. So DNA, which we're building blocks, which you're made of. I don't care what the news is gonna be. You're still a Christian. You still have DNA built in you. You still have to function in that. Let's start with the D for DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Not weekly, monthly, yearly, not Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Daily, draw closer to the Lord. And never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of Jesus Christ and his words. Ever. Don't ever let the world make you ashamed. And A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve. You got to be ready to serve 24/7. So if the Lord said go here and you know it's the Lord, do it. Because your other options are horrible. Just do it. Just do what the Lord wants you to do. It's just an easier way to live your life. You see? There you go. All right. A couple things I want to say about this whole real thing. Because I know I've talked about it before. And you're going to hear me tomorrow in our expository teaching talk about what Paul wrote talking about repetition. And so if you say, oh, I think I've heard this from Dave before. Probably. I mean, when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'm pretty sure I can find different portions in the gospel that he said this here, he said this here, he said this here, he said this there. And you think, well, why did God say it so many times? Okay, now go look in the mirror and then ask that question to yourself. Why did God say it so many times? And after you look back in the mirror, you'll go, oh, that's why. Okay, because we tend to forget. And then just like, what? What? And he's got to tell us over and over and over again. In fact, we're quite lucky that there's four gospels. You're quite lucky there's not 40 the way we are, because we could use the help. Here's the bottom line in regards to being yourself. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the ground. Not that we can be in coexistence. Man is supposed to rule over them. Sorry, that's what it says. I can't change the book because it doesn't fit your ecosystem process. But the key element in there is God said, let us make mankind in our image. You're made in the image of God. Now, you're going to tell me that when God made humanity, he made mistakes? I think it's funny that he made things like the platypus because it's just funny looking. But that is, I think, God's sense of humor. The idea that God made you poorly is a really, really bad approach. Watch this. You think that's good? Watch this. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That phrase, handiwork, this comes after Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Everybody knows, you know, grace you're saved. It's a gift of God. Not yourselves. You know, it's like this is, we receive it by faith. We're just so happy about Ephesians 2:8 and 9. But 2:10 says we are God's handiwork. Well, why is that important? Because that Greek word means masterpiece. And when we look at the great artists of our day, and we look at, or even in times before, Leonardo da Vinci and all these people that did with these wonderful masterpieces, we go, oh, that is such a great piece of art. It's so designed so well. It's done so. Guess what? You are God's art project. And he didn't take a bunch of pieces of macaroni and glue them on a piece of paper following an outline. He made you. You're his masterpiece. He didn't make any mistakes. Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God doesn't make junk. Do you get what I'm saying? He doesn't make lousy. I made that. That's lousy. It's like. Now, I confess maybe not doing as well as many of you in art class. I'll just confess that right now. I acknowledge that. And I am not very artistic, in fact. I mean, maybe in speaking, but not in anything else. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God is the best artist. He's the wisest being, the greatest father. He's just excellent in every realm he exists in. That's why he's God. See how that works? See how that goes? See how that is? And so God tells you, I don't make junk. I made you. And you think, but Lord, I don't like this about me, and I don't like this about me. And you know God is up there loving you and caring about you and then saying this, So, in other words, as much love as you, it's like he didn't make a mistake making you. We don't need to be fake. We may be in a mess, and we may even be messy, and we may even look messy, but never forget that you are God's messy, right? I mean, he's the creator. You're the creation. And the reason that I think it's important for Christians to be a little bit more on this page is there in society, there is a lot of phony things. And when Christians bring that into the church, that's easy to spot. I remember I did an interview when I had met with Jim Daly. We were talking, and he had me meet with this young man who was a very young Christian movie producer. And we were just talking. We were just chatting. It was kind of like a just like a one-on-one conversation. He's pretty like I'd say it to T. I mean, he was like a hip guy. You know, he was like in 32, 34 at this point, and making movies, and you know, hitting every generation like his age and lower. kind of thing. And I just said, well, you know, how is it? You know, how is it when you go into a church and people know you? He goes, yeah. He goes, some people know me when I go into church because he's in LA and da 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 da. And I said, how's that go? He goes, you know, he goes, the only thing I know is when I walk into a church, if there's like phony people, he goes, it's the first thing I spot. He goes, it's like a bell goes off, ding, 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 fake, fake, fake. He goes, because that's how it is in LA and everybody's like really fake. He goes, so I'm really like keyed into it and so on and so forth. It's like, wow, that's fascinating. This guy walks into a church and the first thing that dawns on him is the fakeness. Like, wow. That's really, I think, quite revealing. And there's nothing overtly gospel about it. What he's just saying is, hey, I can tell when people are fake. And the idea behind that is, hey, you don't have to be that way. God doesn't want you to be that way. Just be yourself. If you mess up, if you blow it, if you do something wrong, you say something wrong, you do something wrong, you act in the wrong way, just own it. Don't try and justify it. Just say, yeah, I did that wrong. I can do better, and I'll do better next time. Don't sit there and try and that's how Jesus would have done it. I think that more Christians have used that line to cover their rear ends than anything else. It's like, don't do that. Just say, oh, I messed that up. Peter messed up, and Jesus said, do you love me? Three times he messed up. Three times Jesus said, do you love me? Then do it this way. Do it this way. Do it this way. That's called restoration. Don't you love God? Isn't he great? He is so great. Just the great. The centurion was the one who Jesus said had great faith. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.